she left too many books unread. This month, we had a death in the family here. My Bulgarian mother-in-law, Nadia, passed away at 79 years old from a massive cancer tumor that had broken one of her lungs. And death can be a mirror in which our convenient self-delusions crumble. I believe that we honor the dead by speaking honestly about them. And I've got a few timely musings to share. I'm Jonathan with Limitless. And below this podcast, you can find the link to the written version of this eulogy. And this is actually the second eulogy that I've written on my website. You can spare my wife and I your condolences because we've shed not one tear in grief. She was already dead to us. She hated life. She hated everyone around her. She was in pain, and she made damn sure to spread pain. Wherever she is now, she's certainly happier than she was for the last couple of decades. What you need to know about my mother-in-law is that she was the kind of woman who smoked cigarettes while pregnant just because she liked cigarettes so much. She was a product of Bulgarian communism, and as long as I knew her, she was ardently anti-everything biohacking, anti-fitness, anti-introspection, and anti-any kind of personal growth, anything. And she paid a high cost. A couple of decades of chronic pain, sarcopenia, arthritis, and crippling lung pain from her emphysema, karma for her sins. We lived near her for most of our 7-year marriage. And the most absurd thing was watching her ongoing suffering from the wholly preventable health problems she had that could have been effectively treated or cured completely by the high-end anti-aging supplements and biohacking products that I offered her numerous times. She was too proud, too stubborn, and too close-minded. I'm not a doctor. I'm just her daughter's husband. In the last year, my wife managed to finally, almost completely, disentangle herself from the awful, toxic relationship they'd had for decades. Nadia was a classically narcissistic parent, verbally abusive, gaslighting, emotionally selfish, financially manipulative, and melodramatic. It's a small miracle that my wife turned out as well adjusted as she is with her mother. This probably has something to do with her grandmother, an angelic woman, according to my wife, pictured here. Yeah, I've got some photos in this article if you want to see some of my extended Bulgarian family. There's a faint hue of silver lining to her death. This year, my wife and I gave her the one thing that made her truly happy. for the first time in decades. She got to behold and hold a few times her beautiful grandson. And I have a photo of her, and this photo is the most happy I ever saw her. And you can go take a look at the photo to see how happy she was. And yet, that happiness and pride that she took in finally being able to identify as a Baba didn't motivate her to do any Baba stuff. She couldn't be troubled to come over and help my wife bathe him or take him to the park in the stroller. And a flashback to when I first met my mother-in-law about 8 years ago. I met her in nearly the most awkward way possible. My then girlfriend and I had been dating for about a month and would go at it like rabbits at every opportunity. She texted me, "Hey Jonathan, Tuesday is my dog's birthday. You can come over to our place. We can have some coffee and celebrate." I responded, "Sure, but don't you live with your mom?" She assured me that her mother would be at work during the day. Not one to turn down pussy, I went over to her place around noon. She greeted me at the door with a smile and a big kiss, assuring me again that her mother would not be coming home anytime soon. We had coffee, gave the dog a special treat, and didn't waste much time going to her bedroom, where we got right down to business. A few moments after our mid-afternoon romp, both still naked and intertwined with each other on her tiny bed, we heard a most unwanted click of the flat's door being opened. Mom was home from work early. I jumped up and pulled my underwear and pants on in a tremendous hurry as her mother began hollering from the hallway. When her daughter had let me into the flat, she'd suspiciously closed the second door, and Mom knew what was going on. Her mom would have just barged into her lockless room, so she jumped in front of the door, barricading it with her naked body. For several minutes, they yelled at each other through the door until her mom agreed to give her time to get dressed. "Jonathan, she's gone in the kitchen. I'll deal with her later. It's best that we just leave now," she told me. But I found the whole situation hilarious, and I figured this was as good a time as any to meet her mother, as she told her that I was her boyfriend. I knocked on the kitchen door and saw the most grouchy-looking, yet surprised, old woman in my life. In my broken Bulgarian, I introduced myself, apologized, and left her to her cigarette. And that's from the story that I share in my book about seduction, dating, and courtship for men. But flash forward, and since her death, my last week has been consumed with a tremendous task: clearing the family home my wife has inherited of decades of their accumulated stuff. Nadia and her husband were always shopaholics, and in the last few years became even more hoarder-ish. I've had to dispense with an excess of cutesy decorative stuff that my wife doesn't want around because it has her bad energy. Unnecessary kitchen appliances, piles and piles of once stylish clothes that I never saw her wear, along with ugly old creaky furniture. Her husband, my father-in-law, he was also a shopaholic who accumulated mountains of now useless and outdated electronics, gadgets, and clothing accessories. But here's what's really struck me. She had hundreds and hundreds of unread books. I remarked to my wife, how was your mother as ignorant as she was with this many books? She responded, she didn't read them. She would buy them, intending to read them, but never would. And I quipped. She was one of the dullest conversationalists I ever met. If she had read only 10% of these, she would have been the most interesting conversationalist. In the 8 years I knew her, I never saw her reading a book. Why? The television, of course, always on, always blaring. The news or some vapid soap opera. Then she got a smartphone, discovered YouTube Shorts, and her books gathered more dust. Apparently, she would watch a bunch of YouTube Shorts about cooking, like, fancy dishes. But she'd never cook a fancy dish. Or that's not quite true. She'd make a decent Christmas or New Year's dinner once a year, maybe. But she watched endless YouTube Shorts. I can't bring myself to throw away books. And it's been a challenge to find storage space for her unread library. I write this eulogy over Black Friday weekend, and I hope this gives some pause to you amidst the annual orgy of consumerism. My in-laws' vapid consumerism was probably an overcompensation for the destitute state of communism they were raised in. Although my family on the other side of the Atlantic is just as bad as consumeristic hoarders. But the bottom line is this consumerism really didn't make them happy. What would have made them happy, I think, would have been investing in their relationship with their daughter, my wife, keeping their marriage alive, having hobbies other than watching television every day, or porn, in the case of my father-in-law, cultivating a spiritual life. Something more than attending Eastern Orthodox service a few times a decade, staying healthy, preparing either with exercise or preparing traditional Bulgarian meals. This is one of the easiest countries to eat healthy in. Or they could have taken a few of the excellent health products I would have happily given them from my massive bio-prepper stash of biohacking stuff. But they were utterly disinterested in these things. Too blinded by the comfort of consumerism, they were. And as I pile yet another load of their old things into the dumpster here, I'm struck by the emptiness of that consumerism. Hopefully, this eulogy motivates you to spend less money this holiday season on meaningless things and spend more time and attention on your relationships. That all said, though, in the next couple of weeks, you can get some of the very best values on the investments that you make in your health and personal growth. And I've organized a 2025 biohacker life hacker guide on my website with some pretty sweet savings. Some of those savings expire real soon, maybe today, maybe some of them are already expired. I don't do a great job as an internet marketer of capitalizing on Black Friday specials, so I apologize about not letting you know about more of these things earlier. Like I said, we had a death in the family recently, and life as a new dad has been pretty hectic. But I do have some pretty good savings on some real quality kind of stuff. The kind of stuff that does add meaningful value to your life. In the guide here that I call 25 Awesome Biohacking Life Hacking Gifts for 2025. So yeah, do check that out. But yeah, more importantly, hopefully this eulogy lands with you, and maybe spend less money, but spend more time and attention with family. And that's something I'm going to try to take seriously as well. Finally, the biohacking, health, self-care, and personal growth stuff we are into can sometimes seem self-indulgent or even selfish. I'm sure you've had friends and family who hand-waved it away as such. It's not. And really, those who think it is damn themselves to a couple of miserable decades. That's the lesson I learned from Nadia. Really, the biohacking, the health, the self-care, the personal growth stuff, it's the greatest gift to our future selves and those who we love around us. It's not a luxury. It's the necessity. I'm Jonathan Roseland with Limitless Podcast, and you can drop me a comment. Let me know if you've got some, thoughts on death and consumerism. Yeah, I'd be curious to hear those if you have some. Otherwise, I look forward to a continued conversation with you.